initialize sequence now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Video Freaks.
Hello, freaks.
Russian roulette is bareback sex with six chicks and one of them has AIDS.
Ooh, Hustler magazine. I finally get to see what a vagina looks. Oh god! Oh my god!
Don't have to do any work. Walk in and sit down. Why do you call yourself stupid for 2 hours?
And any guest you can get on this show, you should consider a special guest.
I'm a horrible fucking human being. I'm seriously going to hell.
Brian, why does everything you touch turn to garbage?
We're completely just fucking self-destructing. Welcome to the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv. I am Brian. He is Tony.
Yo.
There he is.
What's up, everybody?
Here with you for another week of fun and palaver.
No. Don't say that.
Yes. I'm not saying it for that reason. I'm saying it because I legitimately looked up today synonyms for the word ridiculousness. And that is what palaver means, apparently.
Well, makes sense now.
Yes. So, now if I were to say, enough of this palaver, let's get this show on the road, that would be something different.
Hoo-hoo. Rip me off.
On the show tonight, he joined us as a very special guest for our 200th show. Yes, speaking of hoo-hoo, he ripped me off. He joined us for our 200th show 32 episodes ago. Can you believe that?
Wow.
I can't believe it's been 32 weeks since we've had him on. Actually, I guess it would be... No, yeah, it would be 32 weeks. Because I don't think we've really... Maybe we've missed a few weeks in there. Maybe two or three, but not many. So, it's been a while. Let's put it that way. Since we've had the very funny Jackie the Joke Man Martling with us. The man's a legend. And he'll be joining us in a few minutes. And then on the second half of the show, she is many, many, many things. She's been likened to Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City, which as a straight male, I'm not that familiar with. But she is a journalist and a certified recovery specialist, which I find interesting, and a sober companion. I'm going to ask her what that is. But the beautiful Randy Newton will be joining us in the second half of the show. She used to work on Wall Street. She was a stripper. Now she's a journalist and all sorts of stuff. So we'll talk to her.
Regular
about that.
Jane of all trades.
Something like that, I guess. Yeah. And then that would put together a very good show. The two of them makes a very good show.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. Almost a year ago, Jackie was on. He was on April 20th with us.
Oh.
I can't believe it's been that long since our 200th episode. I mean, obviously it has.
The 200, huh?
It's fucking nuts. Dude, we're halfway to... well, not quite halfway, but... A third of the way to 300. This is Sparta! No.
Jesus. If we make it with that fucking content.
Oh, like you're throwing out gems.
Every once in a while.
If you'd like to call the show tonight, 951-FREAKS-0. That's 951-373-2570. Never know who's going to call the show. Our old pal Christian called the show last week. For the first time in many, many weeks. If you'd like to keep up on what's going on with social media, as far as we go, keep up on who's going to be on the show and that kind of stuff, and where to find the downloads and all sorts of stuff. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks. You can follow us on Twitter, if that's more your speed, at The Radio Freaks on Twitter, at Trash Can Lives is Tony. You stuck with that. It was something else when you first started on the show, and we gave you shit for it.
Yeah, I forget what it was. I think it was too close to my real name or something with my business, and I had to.
Oh, actually, now that you mentioned that, I do remember what it was.
Yeah.
I won't say what it was, but yeah, I remember what it was.
Yes, I'm one of those anonymous kind of online dickheads.
Well, that's true. Only the truth is spoken here, folks.
Indeed it is.
You are an anonymous dickhead. So yes. And then if you want to follow me on Twitter, at WoodFloorLicker. Ugh.
The fuck?
Stupid noise. Ugh. So that is an app on my phone. I apologize, everybody. And I had it on vibrate. I guess I need to keep it on complete mute. That is an app on my phone that reminds me to check my blood sugar.
Oh, great.
So, sorry about that.
That's right. God. Talk about the downer.
Yeah, I know, really. Of all the things I could have mentioned.
Hurry, Brian, or you're going to lose a toe. Hurry.
Oh, man. You're not getting rid of me that easily.
I know, right? That's way too easy.
You only hope.
I think you'll go out with a bang of some kind. Ironically, you'll get run over by an ambulance or something.
That would be ironic. Yes, it would. It would be quite ironic.
Oh, man.
Any new news this week?
On the front? Yeah. Nothing crazy.
That's good.
Had a job interview today. Nice. So that was fun. I think it went well. Fingers crossed.
Nice.
Would be very, very exciting for my personal career. Nobody gives a shit, and I can't even speak more on it. But
you're more on about it. That's for sure.
I get it. I'm a moron. All right.
Have you? Is this the job you and I talked about?
I honestly can't remember.
Of course not.
Why would I? I'm a drunk.
So there's that.
Well, didn't bring that up in the interview, though. That's for sure. So, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? I'm very creative. I think I'm a hard worker. I work well with teams. Some of my weaknesses, I wake up 3 hours late usually, and show up to work half pissed drunk. And most days I'm throwing up in a toilet.
So you got to turn those into positives. How would we turn your alcoholism into a positive? If we were in a job interview,
I mean, if you, I like to have fun, and it gets me loose, gets me, I do a lot of my writing. Some of my most creative work comes when I'm intoxicated.
No. So we don't want to say it that way. We want to say it deceptively, but accurately. If you drink a lot during work hours, you.
I would never drink during work hours. I mean, at my old job, sometimes we'd all crack a few beers at the end of the day, depending on, I guess you could say, I'm very committed.
You find yourself working well in group situations.
Yeah. I'm very social.
Yes.
I don't like to leave things unfinished.
There you go. See, now we're getting there.
I do everything until the last drop, the absolutely last drop.
Yes. Squeeze every drop of goodness out of everything you do.
Yeah, I'm a sure few shots away from being your best employee.
Once you start something, you're definitely committed to finishing it.
Yes. I expel all of the bad energy every morning before I come to work. Just comes rifling out of me. So that gets my day really started in a positive light.
I feel like that's really what happens in today's corporate society.
It's exactly what happens.
It's all about marketing yourself in a positive way. You just have to twist around what you actually do to sound like it's something good.
That's what it is. The key to a good job interview is you have to be good at bullshitting.
Oh, of course. I know that.
And if you're not good at that, you're pretty much screwed.
Sure.
Especially for corporate stuff. You know, some of the stuff I do is pretty laid. It's more laid back, which is good. But I mean, if you're going for a regular corporate job, you really gotta fucking bullshit. You just gotta, you gotta twist everything into something that is not.
Everything's gotta be a positive, I feel. Even your negatives.
Even when you do weaknesses, you have to, the right way to do it is, you know, for instance, you know, one of my weaknesses is, I take on too many projects at a time. But you know, to combat that, I've been really focused on, you know, working with my team to you know, help me out and you know, collaborate on getting the job done.
I feel like when you tell them your weaknesses, it's almost a form of humble bragging. Is the way people most people do it.
I think that's the mistake most people make, is they actually say, "Oh, here's my weakness." But you have to switch it around and say, "Yes, I understand I have this weakness, but here's how I'm turning it around. Here's how I'm working on it." Even though most people aren't working on it, let's be honest.
I feel like sometimes I'm too dedicated to the job.
Yeah, I mean, that's the cliche one, but it is true. So, but you, I think you would word it differently. You know,
sometimes
what I mean?
My home life suffers because I care too much about getting the job done.
Yeah. It's just all horseshit.
Yeah.
It really is.
Especially
that corporate shit. I mean, you can literally write your own script before you go in and basically memorize it, and you pretty much should be okay, which is sad.
Right.
But I heard like little things I never knew. Like my buddy was telling me, because he's like in the corporate world, and he was just doing training for interviewing people.
Sure.
And he goes, and I never fucking knew this. He goes, never, ever. The two things you never ever do is when you go to the interview, the first one you get there, they always ask you, do you want anything? Do you need, you know, would you like a water or something? Always say yes.
Really? Why is
that? Always say yes. Never say no. No matter how weird it is. Because it's always, I've done it before, like back in the day. You always kind of feel like weird, like, oh, I don't want to ask, you know what I mean? I don't want to ask them, you know what I mean, for water. That's kind of weird.
Right.
I'm here for them, not. But the reason is because it shows that you're comfortable and not like afraid to ask for them to give you something. Like it shows that you're comfortable in the situation and not overly nervous.
Interesting.
Like right off the bat. I never knew that.
That's interesting.
It makes sense.
Sure it does.
Because it shows you're calm enough to be like, all right, yeah, I'll take a water.
Right.
Or coffee. But I've done that before and I never got the job.
Most people think that it's more something that you don't want to say, hey, yeah, I'll take it, because it seems like you're too relaxed.
Well, that's the thing. They want you to be relaxed. They want to see that you're relaxed to be there.
Which is odd.
It's weird, yeah. And then the other thing was a lot of times people ask you in job interviews that how do you handle pressure?
Sure.
And what you never ever say. And I didn't know this either, because it's just like, it's just kind of like a no brainer. You go or tell me a time when you felt a pressure situation at your job, at a previous job.
Sure.
You never say, you know, I'll be honest, I really handle pressure very well. I don't really feel pressure much.
Right.
Never say that. I never knew that.
Huh.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, but I mean, I'm sure some people, I'm sure I've said it.
Why do they tell you that?
Because it, what did he tell me? Because they, number one, they know you're bullshitting right then and there, and they know you're just trying to kind of
appease them.
Appease them. So they want to hear that you handle pressure, but they want to hear how you handle it. Like, they want to know that you can admit that you do feel pressure, because every job, you feel pressure at some point.
Sure.
This might be boring.
If you don't feel pressure, then clearly you're not being challenged in your job.
Exactly. That I think that's the other thing, too, he said, was like, yeah, if you even are kidding that you don't feel pressure, then you're just, you're not challenged. We don't want somebody who is okay with not being challenged. Never knew that. I mean, these are all things I didn't know, and I know I've done them in interviews before.
Sure.
So I took the water.
I've done all those things as well.
So I took the water.
There you go. That's what you need to do.
Then the other awkward thing is, okay, when do I sip it during the interview?
Whenever you're thirsty, really. I mean, I would think.
Yeah.
You just take little sips.
But it really is all bullshit. And I do feel bad for a lot of people on the job market just being in it.
Oh, it's horrible.
But in the field I'm in, it's a little bit different. I'm sure. But, you know, if you're just trying to get a regular ass corporate job, or I mean, if you're applying at, you know, Sears or something weird like that, it's fairly easy. Just say the right things and you know, very vague answers, you should be fine.
I mean, I've recently applied for a position with a company that I'm really hoping to get, but it's one of those, I mean, it's for a hospital, but it's still one of those things where it's very corporate and very corporate answer driven too, because it's a health system. So it's a big deal.
And she's like, why the fuck can't I just come in and we just talk?
Right, exactly.
Why do you have to ask me, okay, read off the list of questions that HR has prepared.
Right.
Give it to the person who checks over it and make sure that it's correct. So you can, you know what I mean? It's just like, why can't, like, if I was a CEO or I was like a head of a department for what I do. Right. I'd be like, all right, let's meet at the bar. Let's meet at a coffee shop and just chill out. And let me see who the fuck you are.
Right.
In a real setting. Or like lie and say, all right, you're going to meet with this person here, but then I show up, pretend, and not even pretend, like I don't even know this person. They don't know me, and I just strike up a conversation.
So see where it goes.
Because then you get the real person.
Right. I met with, I was approached, actually, I was headhunted for a job.
I am Anne in a bathroom stall.
Wrong kind of head. I was approached by somebody for a position that they wanted me to join their company, and I went on that, I guess it was an interview on Monday. I think it was all but foregone conclusion that I was going to be hired by this company, but I was not sure it was going to be a good fit, and I wanted to find out more before I officially said I would or wouldn't take the job. And I went to this, I guess, meet with the president of the company and somebody who I knew from a former job who's already working for the company. And the meeting was held at like a bed and breakfast. And it was like I walked into a hoarder's home. It was really weird. And during the interview, he said, oh, yeah, the secretary for the company is the owner of the bed and breakfast. And, you know, so if you see anything that comes from Carol, that's just crazy Carol. When you refer to one of your employees as crazy Carol, and she's the secretary for the company, and she also runs the cluttered bed and breakfast that you're meeting in. And the monthly meetings for the business will be held around the dining room table of the bed and breakfast. You know, I told them I'd think about it and discuss it with my wife, and then I sent a regret email later on that day, and I was like, yeah,
that's so funny. I've done that before too, where I've had a job offer. And I instead of the wife, though, I went, they offered me the job, and I was like, and I found out it wasn't what I thought it would be.
Right.
And I go, all right, well, I got to talk to my mom about it. I was like 19. But I'll get back to you. And I just never got back to him.
Well, I just felt it was the right thing. You could have said your girlfriend, even. That would have been acceptable.
I didn't have one. I was a piece of garbage.
But you could have just made it up.
My life was so sad I couldn't even make one up. Can't make this shit up.
I suppose that's one way of looking at it, I guess. Well, it's time to get to our first guest. He has been on, he's a comedy legend. Let's just get that out of the way. The man is a comedy legend. It baffles me every time I speak to him, because the man is a comedy legend, and I'm in awe of just the fact that he comes on our show. But he was here for our 200th show. He's been in comedy for what seems like forever, but he is still very much going strong. You know him from the Howard Stern Show. You know him from the his joke line, which has been running for many, many years. And, of course, every day he tweets out a joke at 4:20, the official international time for marijuana. Joining the program now, our pal Jackie the Joke Man Martling. How are you, sir?
I'm crappy.
I second it, Jackie. I second it.
You know why? Because every time I hear the goddamn word legend, all I hear is old.
No.
So flattering. Legend is so flattering, but all it means is old. How the hell are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, buddy.
That's why I tried to,
like, listen to a minute of your program to make me feel good about myself. Holy Christ. Sorry, bastards. If I was your age, I'd be out parading the streets and having a great old time. What the hell's wrong with you? Jesus Christ.
We're both about to have kids, Jackie. I'm 40, and I'm about to have a kid, and Tony is 26, 27, about 28. So I feel like he's at the right age to be having a kid. I feel like I have no business having a kid after 40.
Nah, you're fine. You're fine. That's the one thing that kills me. I never had kids, but, you know, I think it's great. You know, like, I'm not sure about what's his name, Tony, what's his face from The Odd Couple that had a kid when he was 82. That
yeah,
might not have
Tony
been the
Randall.
Smartest move.
Yeah.
You it's know, like... he died bending over to pick up the kid. You know that, right?
It's like you
yeah,
procreate.
Tony Randall bent over to pick up the kid and went right past him to the floor. Jeez. I'm making that up, but I'm making a good point here.
Exactly right. I mean,
so what's up? Hey, I'm coming to your neck of the woods. You guys in Philadelphia, right?
Yes, yes. You're going to be in Philadelphia this weekend. You're going to be doing a bunch of shows down here.
No, a week from this weekend. I'm going to be in Millville, New Jersey, which is somewhere down around Georgia. I'm in Millville, New Jersey on Saturday night, and then... the following week, Friday night, I'm doing a theater in Riverhead, Long Island, and then the Prince Theater in Philadelphia. I got three theaters in 2 weeks.
That's pretty good.
God, I guess the word didn't get out that I suck.
The LaVoy is a nice theater.
I'm kicking ass. You know, I finally got a deal for my book, and I'm finishing up my book, and it's just going to kick ass, you know?
That's pretty cool. The LaVoy Theater is down here in Philadelphia area, so that's still technically kind of Philly. It's just on the other side of the river, but it's a very nice theater. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, no, I've worked. I think this is my third or fourth time there. I love it. I love when these theaters are going under, these old vaudeville houses or these movie houses, and the town gets together and renovates them. I mean, it's a delightful place. Really nice, you know?
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
It's a really good size for comedy, you know? It's just right.
And the fact that they really use it for comedy, too. You don't see a lot of these theaters that they've renovated wanting to do comedy. They usually do, like theater and that kind of stuff in there, but you don't see them opening it up to comedians a lot, which I think is great that they're doing that.
Well, more and more. It's surprising, but more and more, if you look at some of these theaters, all of a sudden it's like events, and instead of just, you know, doing Madame Butterfly and four gay guys with violins, all of a sudden they have a comedian, and people like it. So, you know, it's great fun. You know, hey, I got a hot girl opened up for me, this Tara Canastracci. So if you guys don't like me, just come out with your pants down and watch her. She's good.
I like that.
I'm kicking ass. You know, I just did a sitcom pilot that actually works as a short film, and the thing is winning prizes, and we're going to Munich, and we're going to Manchester, England.
Nice.
God, I'm going to get rich just before I die. I can't wait.
you don't slow down, Jackie.
No, I'd slow down. What am I going to do? I quit drinking. I got nothing to do with my time except get famous.
That's kind of what I was going to ask you. You've had all this time that your career has spanned. Is there ever going to be a time, do you think, where you'll just say, all right, you know what, I've had enough? Or are you just going to keep doing it until you drop?
I had enough what? Pot or beer or what are we talking about?
No, working. I mean, you see Jack Nicholson finally just retired from working.
George Burns said that he retired when he was 15 years old and went into show business. You know, I mean, come
That's
on,
a good
it's
point.
The lark, you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
You know, even if, you know, it's people that retire, then what do? They work 8 hours a day in their garden. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you stop, you die. You know, I'm sure that the last day I'm on the planet, I'll be out there telling jokes that night. You know what I mean? I mean, why would you stop?
Sure.
I mean, I still, you know, people ask me all the time, and I tell them, I don't know whether I really love it as much as I think I do.
Right.
Or whether I've hypnotized myself into thinking I do, but I love it. I mean, you know, the driving can be a pain in the ass, and the waiting. Like some very wise comic said many years ago, we don't get paid for the hour we're on stage. We get paid for the 20 minutes that you pull your hair out before. You know,
I don't
care. You know, I'm an old guy, and I still, you know, you don't get nervous, but you just anticipate because you want to do really well. You know, so, but that same old thing about getting uptight and then the first laugh breaking the cherry,
Right.
I mean, it doesn't get old. It just doesn't get old.
I've heard before you people
know, like
tell me...
Like somebody saying, hey, aren't you sick of getting laid? Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm really sick of it, you know.
I've heard before people say that it's not so much like a nervousness, but it's just a desire to do well. But I would think that after a while, I mean, you know you're going to go out there and kill. How many times
you know
recently?
You know you do, but the time that you say to yourself, you know what? What am I worried about? This is a piece of cake. I'm going to be great. That's the day that, you know, the chandelier falls on your head. It's somewhat, you know, I'm sure it's superstition and stuff. You know, for a guy that, you know, I couldn't be any less religious. And my ex-wife used to scream at me because I wasn't, spiritual.
Right, sure.
But meanwhile, you know, I'm back there. You know, if a black cat walked across me, I'd probably kick it in the head, you know, because you want to do good, you know.
Right.
And it's funny because the better you get and the better your reputation gets, the more pressure there is to do well. I mean, I can't just go out there and get away with it.
Right.
I got to go out there and break some balls, you know?
You really think that after all these years that you still have something to prove? I mean, truly, you are counted amongst...
No, it's nothing to prove. It isn't anything to prove. It's just something that you want to do well.
Right.
You know, there's always... I don't care how long you've been doing it. If you're out there and you got 400 people going nuts and there's a guy in the front giving you a dirty look, you're like, well, you know what? After 40 years, here's the guy that's finally onto my game. He knows I suck. I mean,
really?
That's just... You can ask any comedian about that. I mean, that's just how it is. You know, it's that face in the crowd. But that's what keeps you going. You know, that's the push. You know,
is it that desire to please, to have everybody laughing? You have to have everybody on board with it, or
why did Ray Kroc have to open one more goddamn McDonald's? Why did he just sit down and shut up? You know, it's the same thing. You know, 1 billion told. You know, who cares? But, hey, I'll tell you the greatest. Like a couple of months ago, a guy told me a joke, and I never heard it before.
Really? That's unusual.
And it's so disgusting that I can't use it in my act.
Okay.
But you can tell it on terrestrial radio, and you can tell it to a 5-year-old.
Okay.
But I can't tell my crowd because they retch.
Really?
You ready?
Sure.
Please.
Yeah. The woman calls the. The woman calls the doctor, and she says, Doc, I got diarrhea. Can I take a bath? And he says, if you got enough. Is that the greatest? That is so horrible. I love it. I love it. Well, I'm done. I'm hanging up now.
You've had the joke line, the 516-922 wine, for 37 years.
Yeah, you know, I'm writing my book, and when I'm sitting there writing this, it's just not believable. I mean, at one point, it was 10 lines in my mother's attic.
Right.
And I was getting like 5 or 10,000 calls a day from all over the world. It's not even believable.
That's
and now
nuts.
It's down to one line. It's the second line in my house. I just could not. I couldn't.
Let it go.
Give him the number. I couldn't quit. You know,
sure,
I mean,
sure.
Just the other day, two nights ago, we're out to dinner. And all of a sudden, the waitress says, the couple over there would like to buy you guys a round of drinks.
Right.
And the guy said, Jackie, I've been calling 922 Wine since 1979.
Wow.
He said, you actually gave me some stickers. And I went around and I put him in phone booths. This guy's been a fan for like, what is that? It's like almost 40 years. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, I love him. But what I love is somebody saying, hey, 20 years ago, I used to call your joke line.
Right.
And now everybody's got a cell phone. I can just say, well, take out your phone and dial it now. And they take out the phone and dial 516-922-9463. And all of a sudden, hello, this is Jackie the Joke Man. You know how much I love it when you use your finger. The guy's like, holy shit. It's like, feel like they're in a time warp. Because it's exactly the same words that I said in 1979 when I started the thing, you know?
That's crazy.
And like, I'm an idiot. I get a kick out of that. I get a huge kick out of that.
How often do you refresh the jokes on the joke line? How often do you change them?
Well, you know, me and Nancy change them every day, 7 days a week for like 7 years. And then at some point I got a computer and I have like 15 minutes on each of the lines.
Right.
But now I change them like when I have a new gig. Like I usually put the most local gig on.
Sure.
and I'll leave the jokes on for 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. You know, I mean, it's not going all the time, but people, there's still people that say they call all the time. They know I change it every couple of weeks, you know.
Wow.
But it's fun, you know, and some guys, you know, they call back every day because they can't, because they're idiots and they can't remember how the joke goes, you know.
And you don't make any money off of that, do you? It's just a phone line, you know, that you promote
it's
so your jokes.
Funny. Yeah, no, I'm not Jewish. But, you know, the thing is paid off in spades, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. And in promotion alone.
The Steve Show nationally. And,
right.
And I started Governor's Comedy Shop and Brokerage Comedy Club on Long Island. And the reason they came to me is that, hey, let's get the guy with the joke line.
Right, right, you know? Right.
And the stories about it go on and on. So it's actually been very worth it. It was a whole big deal in the beginning of the 80s, in the beginning of the comedy boom, and we're all going on the road. The guys used to go nuts where they used to see those stickers, because I would put them every place you could not believe.
Right.
You know.
Do you think
I worked at Zany's in Nashville.
Right.
And it was so funny because after the show, you know, they like to take the comics out, so they took us out. And some guys I knew went to work at Zany's in Nashville, and they said, Martling, you couldn't believe it. We did the show. And then they said, hey, come on, you guys, let's go out. We're going to go see Barbara Mandrell's backup band. So they went to the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
To see Barbara Mandrell's backup band. And he said, I went in to take a leak, and there's a 922 wine sticker. And he said, I couldn't believe it. And then after they were done, the band and they said, hey, we're the comedians at Zany's, and this is Barbara Mandrell's band. So they all went out to some crap hole to have grits and steak, you know?
Right.
And he said, here we are at 5 o'clock in the morning in the outskirts of Nashville having grits and steak. And I said, I went to take a leak again. He said, here's another sticker. He said, you must have done the same tour of Nashville that we did. And it was like that times every town that we went to, you know. And, I just got such a kick out of it. So, you know, some people like to get rich and get laid. Me, I like to put up yellow stickers around the country. You know?
the phone booth is kind of a thing in the past. It's something you can rarely find these days. Have you thought about maybe doing like an app for the phone that people could download, and then they would have your jokes right there on their phone all the time?
No, there's so many. I got so many jokes in every place, you know.
Right.
Like I got 6 comedy CDs, and for the last year or so, we've been offering all 6 CDs plus the pot song, which was a famous song from the Stern Show.
Sure.
And all the insults from my old insult mirror.
Right.
Like for $20. $20, you get like 6 times 80 minutes, like 480 minutes of jokes and a song and insults for $20. I mean, and you just put them on your iTunes and. Like, nowadays, if you go on Pandora, you know what Pandora is.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
Or Spotify, all you got to do is type in my name, and you get just endless jokes. Except it's great, you know, because they play me, but then they mix in Rodney, and they mix in, you know, all these great comics, because they're all more famous than me. So you hear me, and then you hear Red Fox, and then you hear Gilbert, and then you hear Rodney, and then you hear me. You know,
I think it's
wonderful.
I think for this generation, I mean, you kind of are like the Rodney or that of this generation, no? I mean, you probably won't admit it, but I would say that.
That's so great. Yeah, I'm the one guy left that's telling joke after joke after joke. And, you know, sometimes at my shows, I'll have all these young kids, not young, you know, like 25 or 30-year-old
sure.
people that don't know me from Stern. They
right,
know me
right.
from... You know, the nut from Pandora and Spotify and
SiriusXM,
you know, I email jokes out to people.
Right.
I've been doing this so damn long, it's pretty scary, you know? Hey, if your listeners like dirty jokes, I email jokes once a month.
Yes.
All you got to do is email me, jokeland@AOL.com. Don't give me any crap about AOL. I don't want to hear it. Jokeland, jokeland@AOL.com, and I send out jokes, and it's... And I say where I'm working. I'm working. It's funny. Like the work just keeps coming in, and I'm not real fond of working, you know. But like,
sure.
this, you know, like I'm doing a theater this week and 2 theaters next week, and I'm
right.
like, wow, when did this all happen? You know.
But I get a kick out of it.
You know,
I think that it's a testament to the funny person that you are that you still continue to keep finding work. I mean, if it was just a matter of, oh, you were funny back then and you're washed up now, people wouldn't hire you. But you're still regularly getting gigs in theaters. It's not just
your jokes. These jokes, I've been telling the same jokes since like 1955, but they're funny.
Right.
They're just, people say to me, God, I come to watch you and I sit there and I'm laughing my ass off. And while I'm laughing, I'm saying, what am I laughing at? I heard him tell this 20 times. And that's the best testament. You know, that's the best testament. You know,
sure.
Like, you know, doesn't come and go, you know. You know, there's farts and there's getting laid and there's puking and there's oral sex. And, you know, they stay roughly the same. You know,
sure.
You change the characters, but it's the same act, you know.
Right, of course. I was watching some old clips on YouTube of Carson and when Rodney Dangerfield used to go on Carson. And you would sit there and watch these, and Johnny would just sit back because Rodney was one of those guys you could just wind up and let him go. And it was funny because I was talking to somebody today that is a fan of yours, and he said to me the same thing, that you're kind of like that same way when it comes to telling jokes. You're one of those people where you can just wind you up and sit back and watch you go because you're just rapid fire with the jokes like that. And there's not a lot of people these days that tell jokes that way, the way Rodney used to, the way you do. You think that's a dying art, that form of comedy, or
well,
is it more,
you know,
that it's...
Being funny should not be a dying art. You know, there's so many young guys that get up and they think the whole thing of comedy is being angry and loud.
Right, right.
And like what happened to the part about being funny?
Sure.
You know, I never got really famous for comedy. I mean, I never did HBO or Showtime. I never got any modicum of real success at it.
Right.
But I've been killing audiences for 40 years. I don't do anything smart or intellectual, and I don't send you home with any great thoughts. It's just you walk in and you laugh your ass off for an hour and you go home.
Sure.
But that's what I like to do. That's what I've always, you know, that's what I've done since I was a kid.
Right, right.
You know, make them laugh, and then the dirty jokes make them laugh harder. You know, people say, how come you tell dirty jokes? It's because dirty jokes set up more tension, which caused a bigger laugh. You watch Carson's monologue.
Right.
Not to date myself, but watching Carson's monologue, you know, he talk about the country, and he talk about the economy, and
sure.
Talk about show business for 7 minutes. And then at the end of his monologue, he'd make one obscure dick reference and the walls would come down. Because that's what's funny. That's
sure.
What's funny.
Sure, they're not expecting
it
from him.
I'm sorry. That's just the way things are. You
right.
know, I didn't
Absolutely.
Set that up. That wasn't the way I set it up. You
right.
know?
Right.
That's where the tension is. That's where the funny is. You know?
I was thinking the other day how when I grew up, it was Letterman and Leno pretty much. Well, I was on the tail end of Carson, but it was mostly Letterman and Leno, and that's kind of like the late night TV I grew up with. But I went back and watched like Jack Parr and old Johnny Carson stuff and those type of things. Interview with Mel Blanc that Johnny Carson did was hysterical. Early David Letterman stuff with people. And I'm thinking about what my kid is going to want to go back and watch, because for my kid, it's going to be Fallon and Conan.
Yeah,
and
everything is, you know, you start to sound like your parents, but everything changes so much. I mean, even with Carson, if you got the old Jack Parr DVDs,
right,
and look at Jack Parr would have on somebody like Billy Graham or Bobby Kennedy, and he'd ask them a question, and then he'd sit back, and they'd take 7 minutes to answer the question. It was so refreshing and smart and entertaining. And then, like Carson, was so different because he kind of had to keep it moving, but nowhere near like Leno was like boom 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 boom.
Right.
And now there's not even the boom boom, you know.
Yeah.
But that's how fast everything's moving. You know, you go to a movie or watch TV and all these jump cuts and nobody holds the camera steady for 2 seconds. I'm like, you know, I'm way too old. You know, Jesus Christmas.
I think there's a lot to be said for allowing a guest to come on. Like you mentioned Jack Parr used to do. I realize Johnny kind of steered the ship a little bit to keep things moving for network TV. But I think there's a lot to be said for having a guest on asking them a question, and then just allowing them to elaborate and just sitting back and listening to their answer.
Carson would give them room, and he would just prod them along if he needed help.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You could see Leno. You could watch Leno and almost see inside his mind that he's looking for where he's going to throw a joke in.
Right.
You know, and he's not paying attention.
It's not about Leno, though. It's about the guest. And that's what I think got lost in translation between Carson and Leno. And then it's continued between Leno and Fallon.
That was the exact switch. And don't get me wrong. I love Jay, and he's so talented and one of the great stand-ups ever. But, like, you know, it was unwatchable.
Sure. As a talk show host, it's completely different from doing stand-up. We're not taking anything away from his stand-up, but his style of being a talk show host.
No, it's two completely different animals.
Absolutely.
Like ice fishing and being a nurse, you know, they're not really related.
Obviously, we talked about you're going to be trying to do stand-up until you die. You've done many different things in your life.
No, I'm not going to be trying to do stand-up until I die. I'm going to be doing stand-up.
You're going
to
be doing
it. You idiot. Hey, listen, I'm going to get in a plug while you're in the middle of yakking away here. I'm at the Leboy Theater this Saturday night in Millville, New Jersey with Tara Conestracci. It starts at 8 o'clock, one show. It's going to be a kick-ass. Come play Stump the Joke, man. Come have fun. Come hang out.
And then
the following Saturday, I'm at the Prince Theater, that's right in the heart of downtown Philly, right?
Yeah, 14th and Chestnut. Sure. Absolutely.
I love it. It's great fun. You know, I've been working in Philadelphia since forever. I was working in Philly 4 years before I even met Howard.
Really?
7 years before I was a regular on the show. I was working, you know, the Comedy Factory Outlet and the Comedy Works and Bananas and the Comedy Cabaret, all those places. I was working there in 1979 and 80, way, way, way back. And I loved Philly. And I did my first... My first CD was live at the Funny Bone in 1993 on South Street down there.
Sure.
I got
Is that where Helium is now?
You know, I don't know where Helium is. They refuse to hire me because I'm either too old or too something. And
That's amazing.
I'm scared that I banged one of the brothers' wives or something. I'm not sure. Supposedly one of the brothers wants me in there and the other one doesn't. And, you know, and I don't.
They say,
Jackie doesn't really fit. I said, yeah, I probably don't fit into a comedy club, you know, me and that, you know, making people laugh thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, imagine that.
I'll never understand. But, you know, if you know the owners of the Helium, anybody out there, kick them in the balls to me.
Ryan?
I can't imagine why that they wouldn't have you on. You're, like I said, somebody that definitely would fit there. You make people laugh for a living, for Christ's sake.
Well, you know what I don't get is, I don't care as much as I care about the fact that I can't get a straight answer why.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
If somebody said, listen, Jackie, we don't like you because you told a Polish joke and my aunt is Polish, or you know, you fingered my girlfriend when I was watching, whatever, you know, tell me. But I don't like the idea of not knowing. You know, I was working some kind of autograph show in Philly just before that place opened. A guy came up and said, hey, me and my brother are opening a club. I want you to come work it. And I said, I'd love to.
Right.
And then I heard that the one brother wanted me and the other one didn't. And somebody else said, no, there's no brothers owning the place. And I'm like, all right, now I really give up, you know.
Yeah,
maybe it's not even helium. Maybe the name of the place is nitrogen. What the hell do I know? Jesus Christ.
I know helium is owned by...
It shouldn't be that much work. There's enough clubs.
Exactly.
You know?
Sure. I know helium is owned by Mark, and I, to my knowledge, he's not partnered with his brother, but how do I know? That's all I know is that there's a guy named Mark that owns it. But I certainly will put in a good word for you myself. That definitely. We worked very closely with
Helium. You know
where
I work a lot is the Parks Casino. That's near you, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's Parks Casino, sure.
That's in Bensalem. Yeah, I work there every couple of months, and it's like it's this odd little casino, but God, it's fun. I kick ass there, man. I really have fun there.
You've been doing comedy all this time. You've done lots of different things, one of them obviously being radio with the Howard Stern Show. Do you ever miss doing radio? Is there a point where you'd be like, oh, you know what? I might get back on the radio if the right offer was given to me.
No, you know, I do it. I'll tell you, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning once at a blue moon to do radio, and that's all I need to remind me I don't want to do it. I did Q104 with Jim Kerr in New York City
Sure.
every once in a while, and I call into Mark Simone, and I'm going next week on I'm going in the morning to go on WBAB in Long Island.
Opie's old
and,
home.
You know, when I'm on the road, I work lots of radio, but I don't to do it as a regular, I don't really care. You know, I do Artie Lang's podcast. I've done that 3 or 4 times. And
right.
I go on with Opie, and I go on with Anthony, and I go on with Ron Bennington.
Right.
It's sitting in on their shows. I just love them, you know. But I'm not the kind of guy that could sit there and carry a radio show. I'm the kind of guy that, you know, takes pot shots from the side and has fun, you know.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for that. You bring something to a show. You have a marketable presence when it comes to doing radio, or you wouldn't have been doing it for so long, I think.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I love it. You know, it's so funny, though. After I left the Stern Show, everybody thought that everybody and his mother was going to be calling me up and trying to get me to come on and be on with their air personality. But I think I think somebody has to be as strong as Howard.
Sure.
Because I think people are worried that, you know, you're going to take some of the shine off them, you know.
Sure.
But, who knows? Who knows, you know.
It's a shame
as long
that...
I make enough money and I got a nice girlfriend and I live on the water. And
hey, can't beat
I don't
that.
Deserve to be as happy as I am, especially sober. If anybody ever told me I was going to be sober for 16 minutes, I would have told them they were crazy. And now I'm going to be... May 5th, it's going to be 16 years, man.
That's crazy. That's almost about as long as my dad's
been sober.
You
know what's great? I'm going to be 69. I'm going to be 69 on Valentine's Day. How's that for a combination?
Wow. That's pretty good. Can you still do that?
I could do it with you. Are you kidding?
No, you could. I don't think anybody could.
I could write a book about the places I've done that.
I'm sure. We would love to hear about a lot of them, too. Oh, that's funny.
You know what I used to do with me and my wife used to 96. You ever do that?
No, what is a 96?
Well, you're 69, and then you roll over and take a crap in each other's hair. That's one of those jokes I made up and don't admit it.
You know,
a girl told me a joke the other day. A girl told me a cute joke. A guy's getting a massage.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the massage, the masseuse says to him, "Do you want to have an orgasm?"
Right.
And the guy says, "Hell yeah." She says, "All right, I'll be back in 10 minutes." That's great.
Just like a woman. Just like a woman. You mentioned that with radio, people not wanting to these hosts that are so filled with themselves that they don't want you to take the shine off of them. You know,
you know what? That's just me talking. I don't know. It's just weird.
I understand.
I was
understand
on the number
that.
One radio show for 15 years.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, I don't know if I was available because I didn't really want to do it.
Right.
But, I mean, of course, they knew that, you know, if I walked away from the amount of money they were paying. You know, any of the next lowest radio show would have been 1/10 what I was making. You
absolutely,
know?
Sure.
So,
but I mean, like you kind of once you left, you were kind of banned from the building for a while, which is weird. And then, of course, Artie went through his shit, and he was banned from the building.
No, I was never banned from the building or anything like that. You know, I mean, I had no reason to go back there.
Right.
But you know, it was never that. You know. Contemptuous, you know, right. At all. You know?
I'm just trying to figure out.
I just left, you know.
Right. I'm just trying to. I found
out
recently.
It's so funny because I go on with Artie on Artie's podcast, and people write to us and say, "Oh, it's so nice to see you guys getting along again." People are idiots. Artie didn't start on
no,
the third show
until
8 or 9 months after I left. We never crossed paths, so we've been friends forever. I don't know where people get their information. You know.
Yeah, you guys never had a beef, as far as I'm aware of, anyway.
No, and it wasn't even like he started. He didn't start for a long. It was a long time before they put somebody in there.
Yeah,
I mean they had a million different guys trying to do it.
Sure. Well, I was just what I was really getting at was somebody told me recently that Gilbert's banned from the show, and I was just kind of curious why they do that, why they make these statements.
No,
where people
as far
can't
as
come
I know that they, it's not like they banned Gilbert because he had bad breath or something. I think they. The woman just came in there and just changed the flavor of the show.
Right.
You know, I don't know, and I don't know the answers, so I can't even pretend to know the answers.
Sure, sure.
But you know, Gilbert's outrageous and hysterical.
Yeah, we had Gilbert on a few weeks ago, and I just can't imagine.
No, he is the single funniest guy in the world. I mean, when I did his podcast, it was the funniest 90 minutes I think I ever heard. But you know, who knows? What makes people click? You know,
right, right. The two of you guys.
By all accounts, Howard did it 180 degrees, and you know, I can't pretend I care. So
sure, absolutely.
You know, I don't listen to the show, and I never listen to the show. But you know, it's
No, I
told somebody, I made up a joke the other day. I said, "What's the difference between Jackie Martling and Howard Stern?" And the answer is, I've always been the same guy.
That's true.
It's not really insulting, but you know.
No, that's true. I mean, this consultant came in, like you said, he did a complete 180. It was like once he got on America's Got Talent, they completely rebranded him to be more family friendly, and that just
was not who he was. You know, it's absolutely fine. You know,
right?
You know, Red Fox was the dirtiest guy in the world, and all of a sudden they put him on TV. You know, and like Red Fox could just look at somebody, and you could hear the FU. You know,
right, right, yeah. It's just it amazes me.
You know, who knows? Who knows what makes anybody click? You know?
Yeah. You're going to be at the Lavoie Theater Saturday the 21st. That's this coming Saturday, which is in the Philly area. So if you're in the Philly area and you can't make it next Saturday, you can catch them this
Saturday.
Now, is
it in the... It's Millville. Is that really in the Philadelphia area?
Yeah,
honestly?
it's just outside Philadelphia.
It's pretty far south, too.
Yeah.
So.
It's South Jersey, but it's in the outskirts of Philadelphia. So, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, that's cool. I just did some interviews with my old friend Scott Cronick. You know him? He runs the Press of Atlantic City down there, and he's a real good character.
No.
I always think of Philly as a small thing. Do you guys know Derek, the Blue Jean critic? Do you know that guy?
No, I can't say
he's
that I do.
He's a real character.
The guy called
the Blue Jean critic, that's like a food critic in Philly. And you know who came up to my house a couple times was Tony with the... What's his name?
Tony Lukes.
Tony with the Philadelphia Steaks?
Yeah, Tony Lukes.
Tony Luke.
Yes.
Tony Luke came up here because Leo Rossi, who's from Philadelphia, actually wrote the John Gotti Jr. movie, Living Here at My House.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
They made the John Gotti Jr. movie, and now I think everybody's afraid to screen it. You know, life is too... Hey, you ever hear of a show called The Affair?
No, I have not heard of that.
Well, you folks out there, Showtime's show called The Affair, this is season 3, and episode 2, 4, and 8 is all filmed at my house.
Oh, wow, no shit. We'll
have
to go check that out.
The lead guy and his wife live at my house while their other house is being built.
Oh, wow, that's
pretty
cool.
You know, within the show.
Sure.
It's so funny, I'm sitting there watching the TV, and I'm looking at my kitchen on TV, and I'm looking at my kitchen through the door. I'm like, this is too strange, man. Then I realized I was stoned and I didn't even have the television on. That's how stupid I am. Jesus Christmas.
You know who we know?
All right,
you
so might... I know we got to be getting near the end. I got to tell you a great joke. So
go ahead.
A girl calls the doctor and says, Doc, I'm freaking out. I keep finding postage stamps from Costa Rica in my vagina. And he examines it and he says, lady, those aren't postage stamps. Those are the stickers from bananas. Listen. All right, everybody. Follow me on Twitter, at Jackie Martling, JACKIEMARTLING, at Jackie Martling. If you want 30 jokes every month, it's jokeland@AOL.com, JOKELAND @AOL.com. And I'll see you at the Lavoie Theater.
Yes,
the Lavoie
Theater.
Come on down, play Stump the Joke, man. Come to the Prince Theater. It's the Prince. It's the Raz Room inside the Prince Theater in, would you
in
call it Central Philadelphia? What do you call it?
Yeah, it's in Center City. Center City, Philadelphia.
Center City, Philadelphia, the Prince Theater. And if you're on Long Island, come to Riverhead.
Yes,
which is
Suffolk Theater.
About four feet before England. It's way out there. And to Shoot Me Nicely. That's the name of my sitcom, is Shoot Me Nicely.
Right.
With Linda Hamilton. Do you remember Linda Hamilton?
Of course we know Linda Hamilton.
Hamilton and William Sadler, and they got this guy Jackie Martling, who's quite an actor. You'd be shocked.
Really? I've heard of him before, but I haven't seen him act before.
I heard he's a young up-and-comer.
He's an amazing dude. Do this again.
You know who we might... You know who we know that you might know? Richie Minervini, of course, from Long Island.
He called me today, that nut. Well, me and Minervini are the ones that started comedy on Long Island.
Yes, of course.
We the first comedy show ever on Long Island was at this bar called Cinnamon in Huntington. Me and Richie put it on. It was a bar owned by Jerry Cooney's brother.
Right.
Jerry Cooney, the Great White Hope. Do you remember him? He was a fighter.
Yeah, okay. I know, Jay.
And that show did so well that it blossomed into the East Side Comedy Club.
Very nice.
Yeah, Richie's booking the Brigada. I'm down there in April.
Absolutely, he is. Well, we would love
in
to.
April. Minervini's a good guy. He's been around forever.
Yes, absolutely.
He's been around as long as me, except he's a little younger. You know, I was so old when I started. You know, Richie was like 25, I think. I was 31 when I started in comedy, so I was already. You know, I was already old and gray when I started telling these stupid jokes of mine on stage. And, with the luck of the draw, they worked,
Sure. You can check Jackie out this weekend at the Lavoie Theater, which is on North High Street in Millville, New Jersey, 8 p.m. for the show with Tara Kenestracci. That's this Saturday. For more information, you can go to lavoie.net/event/jokeman or call 856-327-6400. If you're up in the New York area, you can catch him the 27th, which is a Friday at the Suffolk Theater with Rich Harkaway, East Main Street in Riverhead. For more information, call 631-727-4343 or go to suffolktheater.com. Or you can catch him back down here in Center City, Philadelphia with Rich Harkaway at the Raz Room inside the Prince Theater, 1412 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia. For more information, princetheater.org or call 215-422-4580. Like Jackie said earlier, follow him on Twitter.
I meant to say, Rich Harkaway is my good friend. He lives in the Philly area.
Oh, okay.
And he's a real funny guy. He's a urologist.
Oh,
all right. Urologist by day and comedian by night, and he's really funny and a really good guy. I should have been mentioning him the whole time.
That's
all right. He opens up for me pretty often.
Nice. And you can follow Jackie on Twitter, at Jackie Martling on Twitter, and also check out his Twitter for the 420 joke of the day, which he tweets out every day at 420. So you want to make sure that you follow him on Twitter so that you can catch that. And also, if you're sitting around bored with your thumb up your ass and you want to hear a good joke, call 516-922-WINE, which is still going strong after 37 years. So we appreciate...
Who would believe that? Listen, you guys, I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jackie.
We'll do this again soon.
Yes, absolutely. Have a great night, Jackie, and take care. We appreciate you coming on the
show. Whoever's on, the amazing Randy's on after me. What's her name?
Shit,
is it a guy? Is it a girl? I don't even know.
It is a girl. She's a columnist for a newspaper in New York called the New York Observer.
Apparently, she's a big fan of yours, Jackie.
Yeah, she's a fan of yours. Her name's Randy Newton. Randy Newton.
All right, well, tell Randy Newton that the whole next time an apple falls past her grandfather, I hope he discovers gravity again. You almost didn't get that, did you?
I did.
You almost didn't get that. All right, I'm hanging up. Listen, go have sex with yourself. Tell Randy I look forward to making out with her.
All right, Jackie. Take care, pal. We appreciate it. Have
bye,
a good
guys.
Night. All right, bye-bye. Jackie the Joke Man Martling, ladies and gentlemen. Again, check him out at the Savoie Theater down here in Millville, New Jersey. I'm sorry, the Lavoie Theater, not the Savoie Theater. That's a totally different theater. The Lavoie Theater. For more information, lavoie.net, L-E-V-O-Y.net, or call 856-327-6400, or the Raz Room inside the Prince Theater next Saturday, the 28th, right here in Center City, Philadelphia, princetheater.org, or 215-422-4580. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. It's the Radio Freaks. Huh?
Said, aw, shit.
Aw, shit.
Saying we'll be something right, before the break.
We'll be right back with Randy Newman. Stay tuned. It's the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Hey, this is Colin Quinn. You're listening to the Radio Freaks at RadioFreaks.tv. Dr. Steve, I hope you're better at prostate screenings than you are at radio screenings, you son of a bitch.
Want to stay up on what's going on with the show? Like the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks and follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/TheRadioFreaks.
Yo, 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 damn son, I was here to talk to you about Bro Flowers. Yeah, that's right, broflowers.com. If you needs to get Valentine's Day flowers for your mama, your baby mama, your shorty, or your secretary, broflowers.com is the place to go. Shit, we get you the freshest flowers money can buy. We use our assorted network of growers such as hospitals, churches, cemeteries, nursing homes, and those fucking gas stations where you could buy a rose for a dollar and shit. We use all them to cut out the middleman and give you the best prices in town, son. Shit, we ain't kidding around. And yo, if you act today and enter in code word Obama when you place your order, you gonna get a free, that's right, a free vase courtesy of Maxwell House, son. Yeah, shit. Broflowers.com. When you gots to get the best flowers for Valentine's Day.
Hey, this is your old pal, Dr. Steve, here to tell you about my show, Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. If you have a question that you're embarrassed to take your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. I have a traditional Chinese medical doctor as my partner. What an asshole. So listen to Weird Medicine, Saturday, 10 p.m. on the East, 7 p.m. on the West. On Sirius 206, XM 103, Opie Radio.
Hey guys, it's your friend Dr. Scott from the Weird Medicine Show with Dr. Steve. A quick reminder that if you're like the rest of us, stressed out, worn out, and looking for a safe and effective, convenient alternative, give My Simply Herbals a try. Fatigue Reprieve will give you the boost of energy without all of the sugar or caffeine. Stress less lowers anxiety and tension in a subtle but powerful way. The perfect stress-reducing formula. Give My Simply Herbals a try at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net.
The mascots of this year's Winter Olympics are a polar bear, a rabbit, and a leopard. Which reminds me of a joke. A polar bear, a rabbit, and a leopard walk into a bar in Russia. The bartender says, nothing, because he's passed out drunk, like everyone else in Russia. You can also use this joke about Australia and North Dakota. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Do you suffer from feelings of inadequacy? Embarrassment? Do you have an erection that works totally fine, but a flaccid penis that looks like a hairy little acorn? Ask your doctor about Chubbed, the medicine proven to turn growers into showers. Experience the thrill of a good hang all day long. Chubbed works by providing blood flow, but not too much blood flow, to make your little mushroom top look like the big floppy noodle you know you're capable of. Because you're a busy man with a tiny flaccid penis, and you don't have time to slap it around. But you always want to be prepared for that special moment when you can show off your big, soft dick. Talk to your doctor about how awesome it would be if it looked like you had a really big dick all the time. If you experience a half erection lasting more than 5 hours, congratulations, you did it, buddy. Side effects include cancer. Chubbed, from the makers of period boobs. It's your time of the month, every day.
If you missed any part of the show, download it.
Shit, I can download it? Tell me where, announcer guy, I'm confused.
You can listen to the Radio Freaks every week right from your smartphone. Check us out on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, both available in the Apple Store and Google Play.
Are you losing your hair? Tired of covering up unsightly bald spots? Well, we have the solution for you. Shave your head and grow a goatee. At Shave Your Head and Grow a Goatee, we encourage our clients to shave what little hair they have and grow a goatee, drawing attention away from their dying, emasculating hairline and towards their badass new goatee.
Before Shave Your Head and Grow a Goatee, I tried to cover my thinning hair with hats and by leaning back real far when I talked to people. Then I found Shave Your Head and Grow a Goatee and followed the step-by-step instructions. Just two steps, really. And now, what can I say? I'm a Shave Your Head and Grow Goatee convert.
Oh, fuck yeah. I look like a bouncer. You got ID?
When I first met Parker, honestly, I thought he looked like a pussy.
I did.
But then, Shave Your Head and Grow Goatee had him shave his head and grow goatee. And now he looks like an ex-Marine.
I'm just a software analyst.
Can you keep a secret?
My hair wasn't the only thing that was vanishing. My confidence went along with it. Kids in my neighborhood, they used to call me names. They called me Chrome Dome, Mirror Ball. They called me Fuckface. But Shave Your Head, Grow a Goatee not only cured my baldness, but it restored my confidence. I just shaved my head, grew a goatee, and now I look like a badass. And everyone's afraid of me.
I'm Sandoval Borsley, founder of Shave Your Head and Grow a Goatee. If you're losing your hair, try Shave Your Head and Grow a Goatee. If you're not completely satisfied with your new look within 30 days, what are you gonna do? Right. I didn't think so.
Shave your head and grow a goatee. If you're black, don't even worry about the goatee part.
This year's Winter Olympics feature a record 98 events and a record 8,000 Jimmy Fallon promos. I swear if I see one more ad for this giggly white boy, I'll put a crossbow through my damn flat screen. Hey, NBC, you want me to watch the Tonight Show? Then hire someone that actually makes me laugh, like Carrot Top. Now that dude's funny. Well, my favorite bit is where he uses a prop to mock one of life's daily absurdities. You go, Carrot Top. You go. Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
I'm Vinnie Brand, and this is the world-famous Stress Factory Comedy Club. Every single weekend, right here in New Brunswick, the biggest names in the business. Get some great food and a cold beer, and you'll see the best stand-up comics the country has to offer. Log on to StressFactory.com to buy your tickets and check out all the best show information. Or call us at 732-545-4242. The Stress Factory. Your friends are right. This place is great.
When my mom is a b***, my daddy goes to EsleyMedicine.com. There he can lots of other women. When I grow up, I'm going to be an Ashley Madison man. Because my daddy's raising me without any moral compass whatsoever. Ashley Madison, find your lovers here. Why exactly are we singing this? Daddy, what's a rotisserie?
What's up, everyone? This is Kiss of Sins.
And this is Johnny Sins.
And you're listening to
The Radio Freaks at RadioFreaks.tv.
Welcome back to The Radio Freaks. If you missed the first half of the show, Brian flubbed his way through an interview with someone famous. If you'd like to participate in the show tonight, call 951-373-2570. That's 951-FREAKS-0. Now, back to the show for more of the same shit you used to.
Welcome back to the Radio Freaks, RadioFreaks.tv. If you're just tuning in, boy, did you miss a good one. Jackie the Joke Man Martling stopped by. If you missed it, you're definitely going to have to go back and listen to it because it was a real funny fucking interview. And I'll say it again, if you're available this Saturday, go check him out at the Lavoie Theater in Millville, New Jersey, Saturday, January 21st. I'm sorry, that's next. Yeah, that's this coming Saturday. For more information, 856-327-6400 or go to the website lavoie.net and click on the Jackie the Joke Man Martling link. If you're in Long Island, check him out next Friday, the 27th, with Rich Harkaway at the Suffolk Theater, East Main Street in Riverhead, 631-727-4343 or suffolktheater.com for tickets. And then again with Rich Harkaway the following night back in Philadelphia at the Raz Room inside the Prince Theater, 1412 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia, 215-422-4580 or princetheater.org. Then he'll be in Lancaster in March, and he'll be at the Borgata in Atlantic City in April. So that'd be cool. I'd love to get him back to help promote one of those gigs, probably the Borgata. So hopefully we'll get him back in April.
Still working like a crazy old man.
Man, he doesn't slow down. And then, you know what? Good for him.
Yeah. It's funny because most of these old, not like saying he's old. I mean, he's old. But, you know, most of these old funny guys, comedians, you know, mainly, I guess you could say, they just keep working.
Right.
To the day they die, they are funny until they're done. But they're never done until they're dead.
Right. And good for them. As long as they're able to work, I don't see any reason why they should stop.
I feel like funny is the lifeblood. Like, it's the fountain of youth.
Well, you know what, too? And I didn't get a chance to say this to him, but I feel like a lot of guys, once they retire, like he said, once they retire, what am I going to do? You know, work 8 hours in a garden? I feel like a lot of people, when you retire, that's like your first nail in the coffin, and you're dead shortly after that.
Yeah.
So.
I think probably more, especially for them, is because, you know, it's... What are they going to do? Like, make the Denny's waitress laugh in the morning when they're getting coffee?
Right, exactly.
Like that's not an audience. That's not... You know what I mean? They need that. It's kind of like the laughter is the fuel that keeps them going.
Sure.
Crazy. It's awesome.
So. Anyway.
Yeah.
Always fun to have Jackie on the show. And we love having him. It's great. We'd love to have him more often. So. But he doesn't want to do radio.
I was gonna mention he was doing a few. I know Anthony had him doing a few of his own shows. I think maybe it was just when they were on break.
If I could get Jackie Martling, I would replace you in a heartbeat.
Well, I would leave.
Fuck, I'd leave. I'd love him the fucking show.
I mean, shit. So. I mean, I would easily be. I mean, if you can get anybody pretty much besides me, I'd probably. You'd probably kick me out.
No,
any comedian, I'd be gone.
Well, Alexa is coming back next week, so I was going to wait to tell you, but...
you know, for a second, I don't know if you were watching on Periscope, and there's only... If you're watching on Periscope, you would have seen me turn my head. I went, turned.
Like,
For a split second, I thought you were serious. There was a split second in my head. I was like, "He's what? Oh, this is happening."
Wait a minute. He's serious. We talked about this last week. He told me it wasn't going to happen.
It's all adding up.
Now it all makes sense, this motherfucker.
God.
No, I would never do that to you.
Honestly, if you did that, do you know how fucking mad I would be?
Oh, I know. And you would have every right to be mad.
I would start my own podcast again.
Just to fucking smash me every week.
It would probably be a show where I just go through each show you do after I'm gone and just take it apart.
It would be Tony's Jocktober podcast hour featuring the Radio Freaks.
I would. That would be my goal.
That's funny. Now.
We should do it.
I will say.
Just to see. I mean, just to see what it would be like.
You know, we might be onto something here, pal.
Cross promotion. It's a bit.
Oh, man. No, honestly, and I think I've said this at least around the holidays. I think I said this to you, but I don't know if I said it on air. You and I have really, really good chemistry, and we have probably...
I'd like to think so.
And I'm not going to say this to blow smoke up your ass or to fucking cradle your cock, but
please
probably do. The best chemistry of any co-host I've had, and that's including John, who I started the fucking podcast with, and I've got really good chemistry with John.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, I don't know, me and Montez didn't really work out. Our chemistry was okay.
It's almost like a breakup.
It's something that you don't like, you know, like Opie and Anthony, for instance. Like, that was just a thing that happened. You know what I mean? It wasn't like Opie was out searching and interviewing people.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was just like, all right, you know, I'm looking for somebody. Here comes Anthony, and then boom, it just worked.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
They submitted a bit to him, and he's like, holy shit, this is gold. How would he not want to attach himself to that?
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah, sometimes it just works. Sometimes it doesn't. It fails miserably.
Yeah. And believe me, I've had people that wanted to be co-hosts of mine on this show. And I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? That would end very badly. And I'm not knocking any of my friends that have said that to me, if you happen to be listening, any of you guys. But I know what's going to work and what's not going to work. And I've picked who I've picked for a reason.
You've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. So.
It's and funny.
I'm not the foremost on podcasting. I'm not the foremost authority, but I think I know at least what works for this show. And that's all I can do. So.
I would think you could do, like, if you, as far as podcasting goes, you're, like, at the level where you could maybe do parent-teacher day talking about podcasting. Like, that's as far as you've gotten. You're not, like, at TED Talk level. But you're getting there one day. Didn't like that one?
Just like waiting to see how far you were going to hang yourself.
What? that was a great reference.
I think you
couldn't do a professional talk about podcasting and the world of podcasting, how it changed your life and give people advice about it. I don't think you're there yet.
No, absolutely not. I'm not full of myself enough to think that I could.
Be
but
funny,
I did get a compliment from Uncle Eddie, who is also part of the Unfiltered Radio Network, which we are now a part of. Actually, he's the kind of the head honcho. He's the boss of the Unfiltered Radio Network.
Do we have a boss now?
Kind of.
Oh, God.
Kind of.
Oh, no.
But he's very hands-off, which I like. But Eddie said that to me. He's like, you know, we kind of started our shows around the same time, and a lot of the other shows that we started with have either gone away or they're just shit. They just keep doing them because they want to do them. But he gave me a compliment the other day. He's like, I really enjoy your show, and that's why we asked you guys to join the network. So,
aww.
Stronger together, as that woman
said. They can make podcasting great again. Too easy.
Boy, the world's going to change on Friday. Getting into that, but the world's going to change on Friday.
But speaking of chemistry, too, I did my new podcast, the Wish You Were Dead podcast, at WYWD podcast on Twitter. Follow at Death Wish Cards on Instagram. Anyways.
And how'd that go?
Audio issues, some content issues. So, like you're saying, the chemistry, sometimes it just kind of works. Yeah. And sometimes you can work on it for a while and then it finds its way.
I will go back and I'll listen to it, which I had planned on doing anyway.
I'll send it to you. I haven't posted it yet.
And I will maybe pick it apart for you. I'll critique it a little bit. See what
I'll send it to you for sure. Yeah. I haven't posted it. I don't think I'm going to because the audio was oof.
Yeah. That good.
Shit isn't always a gem, folks. Doing this shit is not fucking easy.
It's not. It's really not. Sometimes it's a struggle, man. But you know what? When you have a good guest on, it's fun to do.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, when that's what we're lucky about is we usually get really, really good guests. So it's really fun to do when you can, you know, talk to a really good guest. So that having been said, not to put too much pressure on her. Because we're certainly not trying to do that, but I'm just
no pressure at all.
No pressure at all. She's been likened to, huh?
You better do good. I was whispering some things. Better screw up. You better do really good.
She has been likened to Carrie Bradshaw on Sex and the City, which again, I'm a straight male, so I didn't watch Sex and the City, but I know of Carrie Bradshaw. Who doesn't?
Are you
know
sure you're a straight male?
Of Carrie Bradshaw. Stop it. But she is a columnist for the New York Observer, and she is, according to her Twitter account, she is a sober companion. And she is our guest now on the Radio Freaks, the very beautiful Randy Newton. How are you, Randy?
Hey, guys. No pressure whatsoever. I heard what you were saying. I hope I'm a good guest. I have a face for radio. What can I say?
Don't worry. So do we. And we've seen pictures of you. You're
no
much
pressure.
Better. You're much better off than we are, believe me. We definitely have faces for radio, the two of us.
Well, I'm looking at the guy who has a shirt on that says Miracle, and he's kind of cute. I'm watching on Periscope. Oh, you just looked into the camera.